Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is actually going to be a series of podcasts dedicated to Prince, discussions I had over the last day or so since Prince's passing. This first one is going to be with my big brother, the Dr. Vernon Mitchell, assistant professor at Washington University. Dope dude. He's been on Stroud Low Cash previously before a whole bunch of times. I know you all have heard him on there. So this is not really a comprehensive discussions. These are going to be just first reactions and thoughts. So it's not going to be as much of a tale and going deeper into the roster of Prince, but more just initial reaction, just more discussion and just banter from Prince fans about different aspects of his career and his life. So just enjoy, take a listen, share it. Listen, sit back, debate with us, yell at us, all the good things about different Prince albums and ideas and connotations. I mean, there's so many Prince albums. We were just throwing out random different topics when it came to the different topics of albums and his presence. But keep listening to Stroud Low Cash Network. Hit us up, straightolc@gmail.com, with any emails or thoughts. And thank you for listening. Peace.
Should know by the way you popped your car sideways at a wooden mast. See, you're the kind of person that believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb, cause you had a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some of them used. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? And honey, saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. I wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You say, baby,
welcome to, I guess I'm going to call this the Paisley Park edition of Prince Tribute discussion with my man, my big bro, Dr. Vernon Mitchell. Thank you for coming back on. I was trying to have you on for some other random other stuff. I've been trying to get you on, but man, this is, I was like, yo, you're going to do something tonight. I don't care what time get out of class. We're going to have to talk about this Prince, man.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here as always. Honor, pleasure, all those good things, man. It's a sad day in American popular
music, not American, man. World, man.
World music, yeah. just popular culture generally. I mean, this is a huge blow, man. Huge blow. I mean, yeah, I don't think there's a way to really contextualize it either. You know, I don't know. I mean, because it's just, you know, I tweeted out earlier, like, you know, I can't really imagine. I mean, we're in a world without Prince.
Think about the same thing with MJ, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, think about that, like, you know, because I put out a tweet, man. I got a tweet right now. It's like the most viral tweet. Like, if you go into anything Prince on Twitter, mine's like the number three tweet. I was like one of the first people tweeting about it, and I said, losing MJ and Prince is the knowing at the end of an era that we'll never ever see again.
No, that
like, it's literally an era of our lives. Like, so, like, you, I'm facing our mortality, you know, being in the mid-30s. Like,
this
like, it's not just about the music. It's like, yo,
Yeah, no.
If Prince dying, I'm close to dying too.
Hey, but
to
a know, certain extent. You know, but you know, guys from you know from our generation, man. It, you know, for me, watching. You know, Kobe retire his last game, like, that hurt.
We ain't going
like,
to...
I don't want to take it to Kobe level,
I know, but
I'm you know.
But I mean, that's all. That, see, I wanted to have you on there to talk about... Javon called Ho'Angelo Russell.
We ain't talking about that.
Yeah. But I'm saying... But that's what I wanted to get you, because I was trying to see how long he was going to be a Lakers fan if he was still on the squad. No,
they didn't get him off the squad. But anyway, but in terms of mortality, man, I mean, you know, for me, you know, personally...
What will hit you to work? Like, is this the... I mean, I guess next would have to be like a Nas, Jay-Z, like or something like that. That would like really, I guess, hit the real like.
I'm still dealing with Fife for real, man. Honestly, I'm still dealing with Maurice White. That was one of the voices of my childhood, right? I mean, my mother, you know, she was just really, really deliberate and exposed me to a lot of different voices, and. You know, Maurice White was like part of my childhood. My mother, you know, Saturday morning, she's
cleaning the house.
Play Jesus Is Love, you know, Lionel Richie. And then it's like, boom, Earth, Wind, and Fire all day. You know, that's how it kind of went. And she throws some, you know, Bach and Beethoven on top of that. But that's what you got exposed to for me personally. So that's like a personal hit, even though, you know, a lot of that music was a little bit older than me. It was still very much, you know, definitely relevant, man. Part of it was a cultural moment, a voice of a generation. But Prince, that's a voice of, I mean, you know, in some ways, you know, building on what Maurice White had done, I mean, it's a voice of several generations. It's the voice of youth, a voice of transcendence. I mean, transformation in some ways. I mean, I don't think there's enough accolades or words I could use to really get at like the core of what Prince
really meant.
No, you really can't, man. You really can't. I mean, it's just a sad day, you know, and not just music, but just, wow. You know, it's crazy. 'Cause I think in our mind's eye, we think, you know, Prince is going to be the one pop icon that we'll live to see be old, right? Keith Richards is still around.
Keith Richards is still around.
He's still around and Prince is gone.
Dude, as much you drugs know, he done though, man.
You know, you like
he
that.
He got probably about 10 STDs. He's got every disease you could have and he's still alive.
I mean, you know, and I'm being funny. I said this earlier that, you know, somebody, I forgot who I was talking to. I was like, you know, I thought Prince at least be 150. You know, funny, but he's one of those timeless people. It's in, you know, the same thing with Mike. It's you still think like MJ is like he's not gone. He's just not. He's
you
not
still right you now. Still don't believe it. You still don't
right.
believe it.
I mean, you know, I mean, Pac sent you like nah.
You'd be like nah, man. He in Cuba, man.
right. I mean, you know, he would have finished the course somewhere. I mean, Asada, excuse me. But you know, it's man, it's a hurter, man, to see why. I'm really kind of speechless. I'm just kind of rambling, thinking about what this man has done. I mean, April 7th, 1978, you know, I think it's when 4U dropped. I'm looking at the album cover right now, like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
So when is your first memory of Prince?
Oh, yes. So my memory of Prince is...
The first one. Because, I mean, I say when I think about it, I don't remember a memory and not remember a Prince. Like, I was born in 81, so, like, I don't remember a world without Prince.
Yeah, no, I think I'm kind of the same way. You know, it's... I guess my earliest Prince memory is going...
Purple Rain?
It might be Purple Rain, man.
For me, I think that's what
now
I remember.
See, I got to bring my mother up again, man. And my mother was the person, you know, in my life who, my parent who introduced me to music, different types of music. I went to see Purple Rain with my mother and one of her girlfriends.
So you, hold on, you in the theaters.
Theaters.
Seeing so Purple damn, Rain. So hold on, bro.
And it changed my life forever. I mean...
Do you know how gangsta that is? You saw Purple Rain in theaters.
My theater, my mom. Yeah. And her girlfriend, Ardia.
So, this is Purple Rain was rated R, wasn't it?
Yeah. My first rated R flick with my mom's. You know, that's...
But did you, I mean, I guess they didn't know that the Lake Minnetonka was... They didn't know.
Nah, I mean, you
it's
know,
not like, it's not like
baptism in Lake Minnetonka, yeah. You know, mom's trying to, you know, cover my eyes up. She put the hand, you know...
Yeah, but you was looking all through my, the cracks. You trying to look through the cracks.
Yeah, I looked. But, you know, that was my entree to Prince. I want to say, man, I want to remember her playing, like, some of his music before, but my mother... You know, it wasn't just like, this is not just Purple Rain. This is Prince's movie, you know. So she introduced me to him as an artist, you know, across the board, right? That he's, you know, he's doing movies. This guy got, you know, music locked down. I mean, he's, and it's just a total creative. So there was always that respect for him in dealing with, when my mother, you know, kind of introduced me to him. And then, after Purple Rain, I was sold because, you know, at the same time, I had cousins who had, you know, Prince posters, yeah, you know, in their rooms, right? You know how they went. It was like some folks rock with Prince. Some folks had Michael Jackson, you know, the MJ
and
posters.
And even though they had two different styles of music, though, so you're looking back like you don't, yeah, you're not in the mood for MJ and then you put on some Prince and vice versa. Like, you don't be like, I want some Prince and I'm going to put Michael Jackson as a substitute.
You know, that was it, man. So it's I don't want to even say that, you know, it's like that rivalry that you think about Pac and Biggie per se. It wasn't really that.
But they had two different styles too. Yeah, so it's the same.
Yeah,
same
maybe
it is
the same type of, you know, thought process. I mean, without the beef that we think about it in that way. But
they did have beef. We just
but what, I mean, I got that one, whatever the anniversary edition of Bad. And I think that Quincy Jones is on there saying that.
Oh, no, that's a Thriller.
Nah, I think it was Bad, man.
No. It's Quincy. No, it's actually Quincy. No, it's not. It's the first album. It's because he's on there talking in between different tracks and stuff.
Right.
It's on. It's the.
I think
the
it's
first
Bad.
Album. No, what's the first print? Michael album. Because I got it.
Wall.
It's Off the Wall. He's talking on there too.
But there's a Bad album. See, we don't have stuff here. It's right now. You have to ask Google or something.
Yeah.
But
go ahead.
Anyway, but you know whatever album it is, I still think it's Bad. Just for the record. I think that it was Quincy Jones is saying like that Prince was supposed to be on Bad. If I remember correctly, I think he said that Prince was supposed
to be on
a collabo, and I forgot why he said it didn't happen, but I used to always wonder about that. Bad.
Oh, it was supposed to be Mike.
The title track.
Wow.
Yeah, like I think the part that Wesley Snipes ended up in was, you know, that they were trying to do something where Prince would show up and he was like, I'm out. I'm not. I can't.
He was supposed to perform or just be in a video?
He was supposed to be in a video, and I think they may have been, you know, performing it, you know, again.
Mm.
See, I'm going to have to look it up now because it's bothering me.
Hold on.
But this is a big blow. I mean, just a loss across the board. I mean, Icon, man. I mean, if you don't look up Icon, this is it. I mean, and the thing is, to put Prince into proper context, you talking about, man, this cat is standing on the shoulders of Jimi Hendrix, which I don't know if he really ever formally gave him credit. But, you know, in terms of his status, man, I mean, we don't even get to the sonic parts of that. Or his, you know, what he did, you know, for the guitar, for rock guitar. I mean, he picks up where we left off. I mean, but at the same time, you know, you're talking about just pure unadulterated genius.
Oh, by far. Like,
pure unadulterated
genius. We listened a little bit earlier, just some of the songs that you wouldn't know when it came out.
Time. You know, no. You listen to For You, man. I mean, For You Love. Crazy You.
Okay, Quincy Jones did it three times. He did three different albums for Mike, and he had speakings on them for Bad, Thriller, and for Off the Wall. So he did like an anthology type of thing.
What
for
I mean,
each one of them. Like he was discussing them. Where he was in the
but
middle.
Where's the one we talked about?
Bad. So he is on Bad, is what I'm saying. But he does for three albums.
I know, but Bad is the one where he's talking about Prince being on it. Is that what?
Yeah. I mean, no. I'm just going off.
You don't know.
Quincy Jones was.
So you're basically giving your listeners some irrelevant information.
No, I'm giving them good information because then that is true that he was on the Bad like an anthology bad talking about different things like behind the scenes.
So what we're talking about is talking about Quincy Jones talking about Prince being on bad.
That, there we go.
That's what we need to find out. And, you know, have to go to the interwebs and find out what it is. But it took me a while to just even listen to something from Prince today.
Cause yeah, I didn't want to mess with it for
me. It just, my stomach hurt. It's just like, you know, you're like, ah, no, man. You know, this has been a rough year, man. I mean, for me personally.
Yeah.
Man. But like, you know, now that would be a conversation to have.
What?
With Quincy Jones right now. Like,
oh, how's Quincy still alive, though? No disrespect to Quincy, but I'm just saying, he's seen people that raised him and people he raised die.
Yeah. That's a hard one, man.
Quincy might have touched the most people on a low. Because think about it, he had Pac around him because his Pac was engaged to his daughter. So he was still touched with that. You still had the whole Albie Shore thing. He was, you know, because his son is named after him. Quincy, his son is named after Quincy Jones. Like, so you have that whole movement.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking about it riding over here. I was like, you know what? You wouldn't feel that bad if Prince was 77 and he died.
No, I wouldn't.
It's the fact he's 57 he ain't got AARP yet.
And look, between him and Morris Day, man, because I'm like, I saw Morris Day last summer at Fair St. Louis.
Yeah.
Dude look younger now than he did when we were kids.
No, dude.
And Morris Day looks younger. Prince is the same thing. It's like, yo, I don't know.
They drinking
what
blood.
The hell.
They was drinking blood.
Come on, man. but it's like, man, they found a fountain of youth, and you know, this kind of flies in the face of that because when you think about the greatest, right, across, they never typically live to be old.
No.
You know, and Prince, like I said, you know, I was like, oh, Prince would be 150. You know, but I'm joking, but you never associate him with getting old. You always associate him with vibrancy, with innovation, with, you know, like, just creativity unparalleled. Like, you know, the only other person I think that has much creativity as Prince is Stevie Wonder. That's it. And that's saying a lot. I mean, and Stevie is just as prolific.
Yeah,
you know, you're talking about like,
but I think Prince is defined when on so many other different levels though. That Stevie's kind of he was in one lane, almost one or two lanes. Prince was in 10 lanes on the highway.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know it. I don't even want to compare them to each
other. I don't want to compare, I
think they like, you know,
I think Prince doesn't get as much love as he should though. Like when MJ died. I think that MJ got the accolades he was supposed to get before he died. Like, everybody showed him that love.
You don't think
I feel
Prince
like
got that same love?
Hmm?
You don't think Prince got that same love?
I don't think before his passing, I don't think so. Not as much as Mike did. People...
Well, you know, what is the thing, though? Oh, hold up. What was that? This was a couple years ago. They had that... It was on something on BET.
BET, they did it.
Tribute and Trey Songz were just murdered. Ugh. I mean, in the worst way possible. Yeah. Like...
No, Mike had a full 3-hour special on Fox about him where he performed with NSYNC. This is when NSYNC and he had his brothers coming out and like it was like a big thing for him. You know what I'm saying? Where he could really like it felt like it was bootleg for Prince. Like it was just a portion of the BET Awards that was giving him respect where Mike had a 3-hour special.
Yeah, but I think Michael Jackson is like that's a whole different stratosphere.
But I think they're equal.
Is pop icons? I don't think so.
No, I mean, no. I agree with that. But I'm talking about, I think musically influenced, I think Prince has more tentacles across.
Definitely. He might have more.
I mean, more tentacles than
if you're talking about like just
influence.
In terms of, yeah. I mean,
it is though.
I want to give it up. I mean, yeah.
The reason I say this is because Mike didn't birth any other artists directly. Prince did.
I mean, that's true.
Mike, but, people model themselves off of Mike, but Prince birthed Morris Day and the Time. Prince birthed Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Prince birthed Wendy and Lisa. Prince birthed Tevin Campbell. Prince birthed Sinead O'Connor. Prince birthed, you know what I'm just saying? Yeah. I mean, he birthed other artists directly because he either wrote Sheila, Sheila E., Vanity, Apollonia.
I mean, hold up, I don't know if you want to like say that you birthed Apollonia and Sheila E. I mean, not Sheila E., but Apollonia and Vanity is like...
Hey, man, it ain't it... Man, that nasty girl still pops.
That's not what I'm saying, though. I mean, it's just like, I don't know if you hang that up, you hang your head on like, oh, these are some of my artists. But I understand the point, argument you're making.
On the real, I was reading an article, this is before Prince died, that Prince and Rick James were actually competitive against each other.
Yeah, I just saw that.
I read this a long time ago. Like, yeah, they were beefing with each other. That's what Vanity Six was supposed to be going up against the Mary Jane girls. And then the Stone City band was going up against the Revolution. And it was like all these different things, you know, they was just kind of going back and forth. And I don't know who was taking what from who, but they were going back and forth. Because I feel, they said Rick felt like this young dude coming in my lane. And Prince is like, I'm finna take the lane.
He made a whole new lane.
Yeah, I'm finna make the lane. So
you know, it's funk there. It's rock. I mean, it's R&B. I mean, you know, dude just defied explanation as far as I'm concerned. I mean, all those things are there. I mean, but I think he represents, you know, the best in black expressive culture.
100%.
I mean,
not even just on a musical level. I'm talking about business wise. Everything.
But I mean, really, he's like that conduit. He picks up where Ray Charles left off in terms of controlling your masters and stuff. And then when they took his name, he's like, I'm gonna have a symbol. I'm an artist.
I'm Taff Cap.
Who else is gonna do
Taff
that?
Taff Cap. The artist for me is Prince.
You know, I mean that's he was in. He created lanes that people will never be able to fill. I mean, for us, he will have the same type of resonance that, I guess, like Marvin Gaye had for our parents.
Yeah.
In some ways. And I don't, and it's so crazy because, I mean, you think about his career, you know, 78, you know, to now, he saw all those people, right? I mean, he was right there with them, and it is, again, I'm stumbling, and I apologize with my words trying to categorize
it. This ain't no
context.
This
ain't, you know, give it like proper context, because you know when you hear him playing, you hear blues, you know, you hear, you know, rhythm guitar, you hear, like, you going back to Jimmy. I mean, that he carried the torch, you know, after them. You know, what's the historian, Vincent Harding, you know, There's a River, in talking about the black experience in America. And I think that, you know, in popular culture, you still see those remnants, right? You can see, you know, who influenced who. And it didn't take a well-trained ear or eye to see how much Prince borrowed, right? From his predecessors and maybe some of his contemporaries.
Other contemporaries too, yeah.
You know, and it's not
Prince
a knock at all.
Prince was rapping too for a second now too. Remember the sexy mother? Shaking that ass, shaking that ass.
What is that rapping though? I mean,
hey man, Prince is on there.
That's like saying that Marvin Gaye was rapping. what album was that? It wasn't.
But it was like an upbeat rap, you know.
Yeah. On the same, I think the same album that Anger was on. I forgot.
Oh, you talking about Marvin Gaye?
Yeah. He had a couple.
The album before, the one where everybody was not feeling, but it took on people a long time to. It's the album after I Want You. The album after I
Is
Want
it Hear
You.
My Dear?
Hear My Dear. That's you. You talking that, about Hear My Dear? Because he only has five albums. So it's got to be Hear My Dear you talking about.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I can't think of the name of the tune, man. Mm-hmm. Because I just remember on the anthology that I heard, and I was like, is he like rhyming? Rapping, really? You know, but it, you know, but you know that's whole of the conversation talking about, you know, R&B's influence on rap by like early, you know, R&B artists or artists who were not rappers rapping, right? I mean, you can even go back maybe even to Louis Jordan.
Yeah, you can go back a little bit,
to, to some of the jazz, I mean, artists that were doing some of that stuff. But anyway, it's a moment right now, man. I mean, just, wow, no Prince, or Prince is just gone. I mean, because, you know, there are people right now that was looking and waiting for that pop-up show to get those tickets.
I knew he was going to maybe come to St. Louis,
I'm so jealous of people in Atlanta right now.
Dude, I knew y'all said, man, he's going to come to St. Louis, man.
He's supposed to.
He's supposed to come on the 19th, man. But then they got canceled. It was going to be a pop-up show. Like, and then he was, like, doing, like, stuff and, like, giving the money to, like, you know, Mike Brown family and different people like that. Like, he did whole thing in Louisville or whatever, I think.
Yeah, he did.
For people that... families have been messed up by the police and stuff like that.
That track Baltimore, on the last album, you know.
Yeah, because he did a concert right after the Baltimore uprisings and everything. And it was like, and then he just gave the money away, like, yo, I'm good.
No, Prince was definitely, I mean, he stayed woke, man. I mean, it wasn't, he never operated as reclusive as he was at times, I think, you know, in terms of his personal life. He was very much aware of what was happening. I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, like, he would, like, you know.
Well, they said he had a secret Twitter account too, though.
Oh,
that he would just follow the people randomly and just watch if he was talking about Prince.
Wow, I can see
that. Like it's, I'm talking about, like, it could be like Joe Smo and it's a polar bear on there, and he just sitting there just talking to people about stuff, mm-hmm. and not doing it from his account, just to gauge just to interact with people and just kind of see what's going on, like. And it's like, that do sound like something Prince would do. Like, we don't know anything about Prince, though. As much as but he made his music speak for what he was. He didn't want us to really know what was going on.
But, you know, I'm one of those types of fans where I'm like,
I didn't need to know.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, you know, his private life is just that.
Sometimes me knowing your private life mess up my me liking your music if I don't agree with your private life. Yeah, like, if you're beating on your lady or something, you know,
that's definitely the case. But, you know, I mean, the way he was able to keep that mysteriousness about himself, right? That's
why the Dave Chappelle thing was so funny.
Yeah, we loved it.
Because we didn't even know. We like, yo, so this fool is hooping and giving up, like, picking pancakes.
Right.
Like, that's,
in those high heel boots.
Right. And it's crazy because, like, you could see somebody regularly doing, like, we over here at your crib and we just playing ball, and then you was like, I'm going to cook some pancakes. You'd be like, you wouldn't think of it. But you wouldn't think Prince would be doing that for random people coming over his crib kicking it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's it, though. I mean, is that he was, you know, in some respects, a regular guy, right? Yeah. I mean, he was human as much as we want to make him to be an alien. Because, you know, it was, and I think alien, the first thing that popped in my head was Ziggy Stardust, right? So I'm thinking about, like, dang, you know, because in the 80s, man, you know, it's like MJ, you know, David Bowie and Prince. Like, those are like three of the biggest.
And Rick James. You got to put Rick James in
there. Yeah, you got to put Rick in there, man. I mean, but I'm
a Rick dude, though, man. I'm a Rick
dude. And I'll tip my hat to you in that way, but
I'm a Rick dude, though, man.
But Rick didn't transcend the way that they did in terms of, like...
Oh, man, I disagree with that. Nah, I mean, his cocaine stopped him from transcending to the level. The music was there.
You think... I mean, yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's little... Till 85, 86, Rick was on the same level with Prince. The coke kind of dipped him down and everything. And it just kind of went off the Richters, and he started burning women with irons and stuff like that, and it went to the other side, though. But he was on the same level of Prince for a minute. That's why it was a rivalry. It was a real rivalry. It can't be a rivalry unless I'm on the same level with you.
Also, when, like, what's your boy, man? I can't even think of his name.
Is it rappers?
Yeah,
Meek Mill and Drake.
Yes, yeah, so Meek Mill and Drake. I'm sorry,
but they
man.
Are peers. They were, like, they are peers though. So I get that. Yeah, you know, you know, Rick James is a little bit on the Meek Mill side. You know, what I'm saying, he ethered himself, but with the cocaine.
I'll let you hold that right now. I don't have.
I mean, you got. I mean, you just got. Just go look at the Rick catalog though, and match up. No, because I did and match up the years though. You'd be like, Oh snap! Oh no, they was going at each like not like they weren't beefing on regular. But I'm talking about Rick got number one next week. Prince got number one. Or MJ jumping in, and they were going.
Well,
and then,
you know, here we go. The Forgotten Rivals is on PopMatters.com.
Oh, they talking about.
You know, the Forgotten rivalry of Prince and Rick. Oh,
man, I'll be telling people about that, man. I'm a Prince dude, though, but I'm saying, Rick was feeling some type of way about Prince, man. He upper, he ain't got no shirt on covers. Prince, Rick do that too. You know, you got nice flowing hair. I got nice flowing hair. They go.
Nice flowing.
You know what I'm saying? You like, hold on. And then you riding on a unicorn naked. I was going to do that on my album cover. Rick probably was thinking that. I was thinking about doing that with the Stone City band standing behind me. Same things.
All right. I mean, like I said, I'm listening to you.
It'd have been kind of dope if Rick wouldn't have got on the cocaine, man, and that kind of pushed. I think Prince would have actually got pushed another level if Rick would have been off the coke and been kind of pushing him musically.
Yeah.
Rick was mad. I know I was reading an article of like Rick was mad that Prince got the movie and everything, you know, because he was like, I've been out a little bit. I've been out longer. Well, I ain't got no movie.
Yeah, he was like 20 back then.
No,
I'm talking about Prince.
Prince was on like 21, 22 when Purple Rain was out. Rick was probably like late 20s, early 30s. So you got to think of some young dude coming up in here, and I ain't even got no movie, and I've been on Motown this whole time. Barry and then Barry doing all kind of stuff with Diana, putting Diana in the Wiz, and he did Lady Sings the Blues and
Last Dragon. No, here he is. Like, this is just to indulge you for a hot second.
Yeah.
The Confessions of Rick James, Memoirs of a Super Freak. This is 2007. Quote: the first time I saw Prince and his band, I felt sorry for him. Here's this little dude wearing high heels playing this new wave rock and roll, not moving or anything on stage, just standing there wearing this trench coat. Then at the end of his set, he'd take off his trench coat and he's wearing like little girl's bloomers. I just died. The guys in the audience just booed the poor thing to death. I mean,
but it's Rick hating. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, he was himself. He's pushing the culture forward. I mean, you're right. I mean, this is hating because you had to.
I mean, I think Rick was on that level too, though, to a certain extent. But Rick was like, all right, I'm gonna wear the boots, but I'm gonna still wear some jeans though, and keep it pimping though. That's how he kind of looked at it.
Nah, man. Prince always been my dude, man.
So Prince is my dude too, man.
I understand,
that was the Biggie Pac. Rick James.
So once MJ and Prince eclipsed Rick James, then it's just two of them.
There was nothing else.
Wow. So
I mean, you got to think really.
So let me. Sports analogy.
Yeah.
For your listeners who like sports analogy. So is this the like Mike Tyson versus
Buster Douglas?
Bone Crusher Smith. You know, when he knocked out
and he was a young
game
dude.
Changed. That got the, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, and it was like, whoa, we got the whole heavyweight division is changing.
Bone Crusher was a bruiser. Yeah. He's like, he's not going to knock him out.
And then he beat Trevor Burbick, and Trevor Burbick was knocking out cats, you know.
Yeah,
and
so Rick James was that moment for him.
Yeah, that was that Rick moment
like,
for him.
Okay, I'm in elite company now.
And I think it had a lot to do with depression going in hard no more than the drugs, though, because he wasn't the man no more. Mike and Prince took over his whole lane. His lanes was gone, dried up. And even more with Mike, because Mike was on the same label with him at one point.
Yeah, you're true. True.
Him and Mike was on the same label at one point. So it was even more deeper, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking at this article. I'm still trying to go back to find where Quincy Jones was talking about.
No. It is true though. It's on the Wikipedia for Bad. If you go to the video for Bad on Wikipedia, they talk about Prince supposed to be in a video.
Oh, so he wasn't supposed to sing.
No, he was just supposed to be in a video.
Oh, okay, and he said he wasn't gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That wouldn't be a good move.
No. I mean, it was a real. But you got to think about it. At that time, man, Prince was really changing up so much stuff, and he was putting out heat after heat on you though. You got to think about it. Rick James only has six, seven albums in his career. You got to think Prince is putting heat on you every summer. You think that your album, you know, the Stone City Band, y'all can't chill because Prince putting heat on you. And every summer.
And this is when albums matter.
Yeah.
Like, you had to have.
And Rick is thinking, like, I can chill for 2 years. I can't chill because Prince has dropped 3 albums by the time I come out with my next album.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's just, you know, I just want to not even fall down to the Rick James.
No, but I think, but that's a conversation people don't talk about, though.
No, I think you're
and
right.
And I think that's a good context of Prince.
You're right. No. And in that way, I will.
Especially when you talk about the beginning of the career and how he basically took over another king, took a king crown.
Yeah, he did.
Took a king, and now it's time for a young king to rule.
Yeah, so he was like 20.
20, 21, 22, dog.
Wow. And I think that's, again, like I said,
people. And it's even worse because Mike was at least had a name from the band of the Jacksons. This dude, Prince, from Minneapolis. Who anybody from Minneapolis, dog? You got to think, in Rick's mind, you got to think of how, like, that's how dope Prince was.
You know,
even though Rick was from Buffalo, which is a small town, too, but Rick felt like, I built my way up by going through the whole Motown machine and sitting on the bench for 2 or 3 years and building up the Stone City Band. Here's this dude, Prince, from Minneapolis, and he probably getting more money because he owned more of his stuff. He negotiated better. You got to think about the concept of how far Prince was ahead of the game. That's why I'm using Rick James as like a template of that time period.
Yeah, no. I think that there's definitely a way to provide context to Prince's career that way. If you use, you know, Rick James in terms of stepping stones and you know, just showing how the beginning of his transformation into being transformative.
Yeah.
Meaning that, like, he's in multiple lanes simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't, I mean, he started going through the albums. I mean, so.
I mean, but I was just saying, though, every 3 albums, Rick's only dropping one. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Actually, I'm going to pull up some music. Yeah, 1979 is when Prince comes out. And me, another banger. Yeah, so, just crazy, man.
So, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, you really can't appreciate Prince for real, for real. Because I was like, why is MJ more marketable and people feel MJ more? I think MJ has more palatability for all ages. Prince, you got it. To feel Prince, you kind of have to be past puberty. Like, I feel like to understand some adult, but I'm saying in general, to appreciate some songs like Darling Nikki, some of the tracks, and really be able to listen to the lyrics to understand
what's going on.
MJ doesn't have them deep of lyrics. That's, I mean, like, where you, like, layers where he does, but it's like, you can, like, oh, okay, I hear Beat It. I get Beat It.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even, I give my credit, Billie Jean. I understand Billie Jean until I was older.
Well, there you go.
But I think most Prince songs, you got to be older, I say above puberty, to understand a lot of Prince music.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe. I mean, I think the... Yeah, because, I mean, when I first heard Purple Rain, I didn't know what he's talking about.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You didn't understand
the entire album.
Yeah, like, you didn't understand Doves Cry like that. Like, you know, on that level, that visceral level like that.
Computer Blue. You know.
You didn't know none of that. But that's what I'm saying, though. But Mike... You can go through his whole catalog. You can, like, okay, I understood the song somewhat, or at least got the tempo of it at the age, whatever age I heard it at.
Good deal.
Prince, though, you like, Little Red Corvette, man. Oh, shit. That's what he's talking about?
Right. Man. Prince was the only young cat to drive... Whatever that, I don't know, it's like the motorcycle he had in Purple Rain with the wind jam in the front of it.
Yeah, Cats was trying to get
dope.
That too.
Yeah, I mean,
Cats was trying to get that, man. I remember Cats was trying to get that. You got to think, okay, so to give the context of Rick James' first album, 78. Keep in mind, he had been signed to Motown for 4 years previously. So he was on the bench for 4 years. Who comes out the next year after 78? Prince. Out of nowhere. He ain't sitting on no bench nowhere. So it's like, hold up, man. I was on the bench producing and playing the background vocals for all these other artists on Motown playing, you know, because I was the machine at that time. As that you kind of play your role and kind of build your way up. Then you got to think, then Bustin' Out comes out for Rick, which was that's one of the better Rick albums. Then you go Garden Love, Street Songs, the best Rick album, 81. Then it starts to go a little downhill though, and then the last great album, you got Cold Blooded, which is dope, of course, and then Glow, 85, which is basically, he had more albums after, but after Glow, you don't really have any Rick songs that really hit. He had a lot more production, a lot more writing for other people. Party, you know, was it the Eddie Murphy song comes to mind?
Or the, Party All the
Party
Time.
Party All the Time, yeah. Which is a bona fide classic. Nobody, people can handle it. That's a bona fide classic. Yeah,
it's classic. It's right there with, what was that, Cameo's...
Straight Up, man. That
Single Life.
Yeah. Hey, that's a classic, man. Hey.
Oh, it's...
The time, you gotta think, Prince was kind of off the scene though, not really doing that much for 5 year period until Musicology, on a pop sized scene.
Okay.
And then Musicology brought him to a whole other group of people, age group, at the time. And you gotta think, Musicology as well though, is that album, you know, he changed the way the RIA does the ratings, not RIA, the Billboard does ratings, because he was giving out albums when you came to the concert. So he was selling out 50,000 every 2 days because as soon as you pay for your $50 ticket, you got the album.
Yeah, I get that, and I really do like Musicology, but you give me that Midnight Love argument for Marvin Gaye. While I do, I'm be transparent, because, I do like Sexual Healing, but...
But you have, I look at an album not only like listening, but the context of when it came out and what it meant for that time. Like, I like Emancipation too, though. Emancipation too.
Yeah. Now, so this is my mother sidebar for my mother's love for Prince. That was the first time I did something for my parents. Actually, I bought them tickets to Musicology, and I mean I went too. But my pops used to, because you got a free copy of the album at the concert.
Yeah,
my father was playing that.
Was a dope album. It was a dope album.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. Not disagreeing, but to say it's like one of his greatest albums.
It's up there, man. I like Emancipation. Man, it's so many though, man. Cause you know what? I say this. With albums for artists, I kind of feel them more to a certain extent when my adulthood is come apparent with the albums to a certain extent. If that makes sense. Like even there's a lot of artists where I like some of their later stuff people don't like as much because I was maybe transcending in adulthood at certain points, or I was certain stages of my life. I was listening to that album.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was the songs were actually parallel to my life and the way I was living my life. and it was contemporary to where I was living at that time or what I was doing at that time.
Oh, well, I mean, there's room for that. I mean, because 1999.
Yeah, 1999.
That's another banger.
Yeah.
I mean,
Purple Rain. I'd say Purple Rain is number one. It's got to be because you can bang out all the tracks.
I mean, Sign of the Times. I can listen to that all the way through.
Sign of the Times.
Love Sexy. I mean,
Gold Experience was nice too.
But you're not saying nothing about Graffiti Bridge, though.
See, that's deep. See, you know what? No. That's a discussion in itself, man. I saw Graffiti Bridge in the theaters with my mom.
Wow. So you got the Mother Prince experience too. What is that about?
I was older though. I was older than you were when you got to see that though. Your parents a little bit. My mom was definitely irresponsible, but that was yours is way more irresponsible with you going to see Purple Rain in theaters in 84.
Hey man, that was
Free Bridge came out in 91. Is it 91? Free Bridge came out 91, 92.
Free Bridge,
91, 92, 93
like
maybe.
Right, so I was early. Let's see. Diamonds and Pearls is 91. Oh, 90.
It's 90, so I was 9. Okay, so yeah, my parents was definitely irresponsible. Yeah, Diamonds and Pearls is a dope album too.
Yes, I was like, dang, I don't want to even say.
Okay, give me four your favorite Prince songs. Can you do that?
I don't think I can do that either.
Because okay, underrated Prince songs. Give me four underrated Prince songs.
Oh, well, see, that's different.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I think one is Money Tonight.
Okay.
I think it's underrated because just the what the message was doing is kind of like the whole feel of it. It was just Prince's playing with his band and just showing the different aspects of messed up parts of life of his black family.
True. Okay.
And it was just simplistic. It was just dope with that. Another one is I Hate You, Man. Like that. That's a 9-minute song though, G. Like, and he break it down on, he make it put the courtroom on you. He's like, Your Honor, I want to bring up my one and only witness. Like, yo, like, you're sitting there like, yo, Prince straight up got a court case about how much you hate a chick.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, you did a much better job than I would. I mean, because when I listened to, like, early Prince, you know, I think, was it For You or... maybe it's Crazy You. I think it's kind of underrated.
Okay, Crazy You. Yeah. Okay.
It's too early. I think that was it. I mean, because it doesn't sound like it came out 32 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody can release that right now.
I like She Loves Me For Me on the Rainbow Children album.
Yeah, that's true. Cause it's not a whole lot of redemption on that album.
No, it's not a good album.
The only thing good about that is the cover art.
Yeah, but that song though, and the song's only 2 minutes and 30 seconds though.
Yeah,
but it's a dope song though. Anybody out there, like, go listen to that Rainbow Children. Just the one song, She Loves Me For Me.
There's another track on that album that I used to like as well. Hey man, The Vault, Old Friends For Sale.
Yeah,
they're let me stay focused, man. I'm all over the place right now. But Rainbow Children, what was that like?
That was
01?
That's 02.
02?
It's like 02.
01, I was right.
It's 01? Okay.
Yeah, so Rainbow Children. Yeah, that was the David Bowie. Was that right? The cover art?
Yep. Because the cover art was dope. But the album was just okay.
The Works. Yeah, I think it's what it feels. Oh, man, this is just terrible.
Yeah.
The Everlasting Now. That was all types of not great. And that's the thing, though, man. I mean,
And that's the one drawback that people do have a Prince that he put out so much material, though, that it's like some duds there, though.
But think about the stuff we have not heard, right? We don't have to go into, you know, innuendo,
we talked about, yeah.
But about what he was there, what's not there. But you know there are some gems.
That's sitting there. And
depending on how the will is set up or who controls the state.
We'll probably never hear it. We'll never hear it, man. I'm convinced of one ever. Like I was talking earlier, like I heard songs would be big, some Biggie songs. Pac came through. They said Nas, Jay, Kool Moe Dee. They were saying like any of the dope artists of any time period. LL Cool J, he's got tracks with them.
Man.
just sitting there. And it was on some, it wasn't even like they was going to come out with it. It was on some, like, we just kicking it and jumping in the studio type stuff.
Going back to the to Rainbow Children, I mess with Musa Pharaoh. That was
right.
But yeah, that's one we can kind of forget. I'm looking at musicology again.
Yeah, man, you sleeping on that musicology, man.
I mean, I'm not sleeping on it. You know, I think sleeping that, on the musicology. You know, honestly, the tendency is
look at even the ratings, man. Musicology, man, it was a nice album, man, and it was but you got to think. Man, I mean, you know what? Maybe I appreciate music college because that's on the heels of Rainbow Children, and I was like, "This Rainbow Children is old."
Well, see, so is the album really that good,
or is it because I heard because
Rainbow Children was so terrible
that I was that like, "Oh, like oh, you own something here though, and everything." And it felt like it was a return to form.
So, musicology is 2003.
Yeah, 2004, right?
Okay, 2004.
I'm sorry. I was like, musicology 2004.
Yeah, but there's what news. One Night Alone, then Rainbow Children. No, One Night Alone, Expectation, News, and then Musicology.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, like, I didn't. I mean, I probably know songs off of them, but I don't know songs off them two albums.
Yeah, or Planet Earth.
Yeah, like, this is when he's selling his own stuff, though, too, which is the hustling aspect of Prince that's so dope.
Oh, man, he's a businessman.
He was like, dope. Yo, I'm going to sell everything on my site, or you can only buy my music at Best Buy.
Yeah, no, that was, what was that? What am I talking about now? Planet Earth with the future baby mama. Future baby mama.
Yeah, oh, man.
That was a tight song, though, but my voice is all cracking. But, you know, we're just scratch around the surface. We have to come back to this.
Yeah, yeah, you got almost got to sit back another, like, 2 or 3 months. You got like 2 or 3 months just simmer.
And it's really just, you know, go through and just say, like, what is, what isn't. Because I think that probably the tendency for people that consider themselves Prince fans, I mean, I would add myself to that. As you get older, I think you tend to romanticize some of the previous success, you know, in ways that it wasn't. You know, before in some ways. I mean,
like I said, Prince had a lull, though, but in the late 90s. I think 90s.
The same thing is true about Marvin Gaye, right? When people are like, oh, I love Marvin Gaye. It's like,
Marvin Gaye. And the things are messed up. People didn't fuck with Hear My Dear, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, at all. Like that was like.
I think Hear My
Dear
was like
is Dog Father. That was like the Dog Father album with Snoop.
I think Hear My Dear is something that a lot of folks from my generation listen to. That my parents are like, eh.
Yeah, they weren't feeling it. Like, it's probably some kids, some hipsters that probably like the Dog Father album for Snoop.
Right.
And we like, oh, no, I remember when that came out. Yeah, we wasn't messing with that.
So, you know, all this conversation is really like, you know, wine. No matter how much you pay for it, or if you don't, it's really up to you. If you like it, you like it.
Yeah.
But for the sake of, you know, having the banter back and forth, you know, it's good for that. I don't really, I'm still going back to like my favorite, like, top three albums. I don't know. Because I don't want to pick, right?
It's like having a bunch of kids. You don't want to pick.
You know, like, who's your favorite kid? I don't know. But yeah, man, it's a huge, huge loss. Huge loss, man. And again, I mean, going back to what I said earlier, I mean, this his ability musically. And then, I mean, and we haven't even talked about his voice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right? We haven't talked about his voice. I mean, hearing him and Rosie Gaines, you know, I mean, that is, to me, right there with Tammy Terrell, Marvin Gaye is right there with...
he's the Minneapolis sound, though. When you talk about Minneapolis sound, it is Prince. There is, like when you say the Motown sound, do you think of anyone's particular, or do you think of a collective of different people?
Well, who else is coming out of Minneapolis, though? What's the Minneapolis sound?
I mean, the Minneapolis sound, you got your Men's Conditions and all that. I'm talking about that. When people say the Minneapolis sound, is all those different bands and groups that came out of Minneapolis.
Like Philly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Philly, so, but when you say Philly sound, though, who do you think? What, the OJs?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you think of the Motown sound, who do you think of? I guess it would be Temptations?
Temptations.
But it's so many people, though. You got Smokey. Yeah. But when you hear it say Minneapolis sound, you only think of Prince. You may think of Morris Day on the side. You may think Alexander O'Neal here. You may think of, you know, Mint Condition may be on the later end for the, you know, later and younger people. You may think of, I'm trying to think of who else.
Hey, you know,
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
I'm going to totally just add my own little moment right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
That moment in Purple Rain when Prince has that puppet.
That's some loony shit.
Right? I was like,
that's some loony shit. Man. That's some loony shit. Like, it's actually creepy. I actually fast forward through that part.
It's totally random.
It's just creepy. But it's just creepy.
How's the family?
Yeah, Morris Day was more. I almost feel like Morris Day was like was really like that for real life though.
Hey man, he might have been the coolest, you scumbag. Know, villain, you know,
scumbag. And,
yeah. I mean, just a you know, jerk character that was so beloved at the same time. I mean, you know, but anyway,
Prince has birthed so many different people, man.
I mean, again,
somebody else that was supposed to gonna blow up that was birthed off of him that people sleep on and just hit my mind, Terrence Trent D'Arby, who had an opportunity to be a dope ass artist. Because that first Terrence Trent D'Arby album is the bomb. It's that second album. Yes. That second album, though, is that's when it went downhill. I don't know if you went on cocaine. I assume when people fall off that hard on the second album, is cocaine. But that was, like, people like that were birthed from that thing. And that's how Prince was really. And it's like a part of me is sad with like when we're having a daughter, man, that I wanted Prince to be a little bit older where I could really like show her like, yo, like this dude is dope. Like to a certain extent, even on Marvin Gaye for us though, like we really didn't get to experience Marvin Gaye like that besides going back and of course we can go on there and see like the Motown special and all. Motown, I remember Motown 25.
It's three things. For me, with Marvin Gaye,
and Motown 25, Spangled Anthem,
it's All Star Game, NBA All Star Game,
All Star Game, Star Spangled Anthem,
and then Sexual Healing.
Yeah, but that's our only. Yeah, but I wanted my daughter to be able to have some stuff and be like, "Dang, he's 70, but he out there doing it." You know what I'm saying?
I think that's it, man. I think it's the mortality piece because you don't associate Prince with like, you know. Addiction or anything like that. You know, he's always, oh man, he's kind of weird, but he's just an artist, right? He's eclectic, he's eccentric, like in the most like beloved ways possible, right? You give Prince, like when he had, you know, the pants with no seat in the bottom, right? You'd be like, that's Prince though, right?
Yeah, he let him ride. Thugs let him ride. Like, think about how many thugs in the hood was like, oh man, I'm. Thugs was buying an album though, walking right. Well, just finished selling some, at that time, heroin. Selling some heroin. And then one was like, and walking with the Prince album, and nobody was mad at him though. Nobody was like, what's up with that? Oh, no. Nobody was tripping.
Yeah, man. It's really hard to like, really contextualize when you think about his influence. I mean, I'm going back to The Voice again, man. I mean, because the brother went deep when he had to go deep. I mean, he could sing in that lower register, but, you know, him singing, you know, and then he would, you know, the falsetto, and then he started, you know, screeching. That's that's him, you know.
Maybe it's being able to see talent, though, too. Because a lot of people that are artists themselves can't see other talent and let them shine. Even though I know Prince had a lot of issues with a lot of people from the time and a lot like Wendy and Lisa and a lot of different issues with his creative control, a lot of stuff, though. And that's a lot why Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis left the time and Alexander O'Neill left the time. But he was able to identify talent, though. A lot of times artists, I feel, can't identify talent because they're so shaped, they're so caught up in their own energy that they can't identify the good talent, and it's just whoever just hanging out with us. That's who's gonna be put on. Shout out to Memphis Bleak.
Oh man, yo, I saw Memphis Bleak on Highly Questionable, man. That was the funniest thing ever to see
just
that.
To be the dude
and it's just a total shout out to Bomani Jones, man. On the side, the brother's doing his thing. But
oh man, but Bomani's he's like the super Prince fan though.
I mean,
he said he's writing a piece now for Playboy.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, he said he might take him a month. If it take me a month, let me take a month with it. I'm going to make it dope.
I look forward to seeing it.
Did you see the Davey Boy piece he wrote?
No, I didn't see
it. Pretty dope, man. Check it. It's on Playboy. Oh, he's got, like, an ongoing writing contract with Playboy.
taking it back to the old. That's how Playboy used to be.
I mean, that's how we were, though. Yeah.
I mean, they used to have
Malcolm X was interviewed in
Malcolm
there.
Malcolm X, Dr. King, I think, got a Playboy interview. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of.
Alex Haley was one of their main writers for a while.
Yeah. They really.
He remember Norman Rockwell for
it. Some heavy content, man, back then.
Yeah. And
that's what's up, man. I mean, he's getting that look like that.
Yeah, but Bomani with the you talking about the Cleveland Caucasians T-shirt.
Oh man, it's funny. funny.
Yeah, but I mean, so like, what do you think that? Because I try to contextualize like I was like it was so crazy. I was playing for my daughter some Mike the other day, and like keep in mind she got only two, and like she was in it. Keep in mind she don't know no Michael Jackson from nobody. Keep in mind this little girl. Her favorite song right now is Riding Dirty by Chamillionaire and Crazy Bone. Just because they saying you riding dirty. And she just like to ride in the car and she say you riding dirty. And Mike, that was my fault though. Because that was my thing to get her dressed in there. Though. We rolling. And then she actually heard the song. She didn't know what it came from. She heard the song. She's like, oh, that's what daddy's talking about. We rolling. So, but anyway, she was hearing Mike. And like, she was into it instantly. She has no contextualization with it. Instantly into Michael Jackson. Dancing, everything like you knew she knew it.
He's gonna make you dance.
Instantly.
He's gonna make you dance.
Instantly. And she's running over to my phone trying to look and see who is that? Wanna look at the video. Who is that? Instantly into it. Instantly into it. And it's like with Prince, I don't think I can't talk about she 15 though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Really, like, man. You know.
Not really. I mean, you know. Little red Corvette. I mean, I think if she hears that, she won't know what it's talking about. Yeah. But I mean, just you think about just tunes that make you dance. You know, that will do it. You know, I'm being a total audiophile, you know, geek right now because I'm still thinking about just the. I don't know what was worse in terms of range wise, his ability to play guitar or what he was able to do with his voice. Yeah. Right, because he's, I mean...
One of the best guitarists of all time.
Dude, I mean, I was meaning to tweet it at Vernon Reed, man. Shout out to him, Living Color. Obscure, you know, guitarists and performances. When Prince went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and played with... George Harrison's son and a bunch of other folks, they were doing the old tune, Why My Guitar Gently Weeps. He came in at the end, he didn't even sing. And I wanted to hear him sing too, but he came out there with like this, he had like a red Godfather hat, if I remember right. You know, 3-piece suit, like he got straight from Detroit. Shout out to Detroit.
Yeah, shout out to the D. You know, shout out to the D.
And he just crushed it like, you know, they all are, you know, playing this really kind of sentimental, Why My Guitar Gently Weeps, you know, and they're all, you know, playing, you know, nice little solos or whatever, but then he just went to a whole other universe with his solo. And then he just walked off the stage. I think he, like, threw his guitar in the air or something, and somebody caught it. I got to watch the video again. But I couldn't believe it. I mean, but that was Prince, though.
Yeah.
And that was one of those situations. I felt like he was pissed off when he was on stage, like
at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in general. Yeah. Like,
I mean, he should have been there a long time ago. It shouldn't have taken that long. But see, you made me look it up, man.
Yeah, because even more crazier though, I was reading an article. I think it was Prince was talking about one of his favorite guitarists that people didn't trip off of. He said underrated was Ernie Isley.
Oh yeah.
And he was saying that he learned a lot from watching. And I was like, damn. I was reading an article. I mean, it was an older article, but I'm like, damn, I always said Ernie Isley was like dope. You know, and Prince is sitting there like, yo, I'm peeping off him. I'm like, damn. Prince was really watching all kinds of groups, everything that was going on from rock to pop to the R&B. He was everywhere watching everything. He's watching everything.
Yeah. Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne. Steve Winwood. I mean, you got, you know, some respectable names up there, man. But I'm just going to skip to the part where actually the end part, because I think he totally, at the end, just...
Just someone walking down.
like threw his guitar in the air.
He is looking like a pimp, though. He's got a pinstripe, red pinstripe suit.
Yeah, there we go. I thought he had red on it. He had the Godfather hat on.
But red pinstripe suit, too, though. Damn.
And they're singing their little hearts out. He's killing this. French cuff. But, I mean, that's Prince. He's just killing them, man. Maybe he was enjoying it. I don't know. I remember him being like looking like angry, like.
But you know, he might have been angry at them because he's like, "Yo, I'm feeling good being on stage." No, and Paul McCartney's on keys. Is that Paul McCartney on keys?
No, it wasn't Paul McCartney.
Okay, it looked like Paul McCartney on keys. Like, damn.
That's Steve Winwood.
Is that Steve Winwood, Jeff Lynne? I mean, now you know, where do you think Prince's legacy will be? As we are we? I guess we will have to find out. Or
I mean. You know, I thought he threw the guitar in the air, man. Who caught it?
He just threw it
in the air. Only Prince, man.
Supposedly Kevin Smith has a funny story because I guess he directed one of his videos. You know Kevin Smith, the comedic director right there?
Oh, yeah, he directed
a music, a Prince music video. I forgot which one it was. He's got a story about it. It's supposed to be super funny. I'm going
to
watch it.
They need to just take all of Chappelle's Prince songs, the Prince videos. I'm sorry, I'm snub. They need to take all of the Prince, like the famous people stories, like when they animated that one with Questlove.
Yeah,
they should do all of like
and just make it together, one long anthology thing.
Make an hour long animated stories of Prince,
and just make it a full.
Put it in theaters. People will go to see that, man.
Almost for sure. Make it a video on demand. $5 for video on demand.
Put it on YouTube, man. Because I really enjoyed the Questlove joint. Because you could visualize it even without watching it.
Yeah.
And watch it, because the story's always, like, just fantastical, right?
Yeah, it is. Fantastical is a great word for it, even though it's not a real word.
It's like some otherworldly stuff, because... When people say I have a Prince story, right? You think about when Jamie Foxx, don't look in his eyes, right?
Yeah.
It fits it, and I'm sure there are so many Prince stories we don't know. Oh, right.
They say that he doesn't let you bring any recordings in there, nothing like that, into his crib, no cell phones, no nothing. Like he's super private like that if you come into Paisley.
Right. I mean, that's what you would come to expect, right? So it's I just hate it, man, losing an 80s icon.
I mean, I don't even know if he's... I mean, he's in the 90s, too, so I don't
know. I know, but you know, Purple Rain is what puts him on the map.
80s is his stronghold.
That's the thing that takes him over the edge.
Is the 80s, yeah.
I would agree with you that, you know, he's timeless, period. I said timeless, I'm just being, you know, having my own ADD moment intellectually, and went straight to, like... Sade, man, when Promise came out. You know, but again, stay focused on the task at hand.
Mm.
But that's the same type of, like, timeless music. Like, you know, the records, I mean, Prince is like, I tweeted out earlier, Prince is forever.
Yeah.
You know, it is. I mean, the same way Mike is, but it's different. Prince is just and in no shade to Mike at all.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. It's just different.
It's like both of those artists operate in their own respective lanes with their own respective, you know, love. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, it's not about who was better. I mean, we in a world where they both are gone. Like you said, I guess in your tweet, that you know, you're at the end of an era. You know, Just a huge, huge loss, man. I might have to write something myself, man. Just if I do write something, I'm gonna start with going to see Purple Rain. That's where I'll begin my story.
I hope somebody would think about something like the Tivoli or somebody want to throw it in the theater one day during the weekend. That'd be kind of dope.
With the Tivoli in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Dope. I mean, but think about it this way. How many people are gonna dress up like Prince
for Halloween coming up? It's gonna be ridiculous. Yeah. It's gonna be different stages, too. That's the thing. I don't think it's gonna be just the Purple Rain one.
All right, we're starting a contest right now. Dress your kids up like Prince for Halloween.
Different levels, though, too.
Different levels. You got different eras of Prince. You're going to be, modern Prince with the Afro, you know, Prince from Purple Rain, Prince
from Graffiti Bridge.
Graffiti Bridge, or well, his first two albums, the late 70s Prince, you know, with the blowout kit, you know.
The blowout kit.
You know, or, you know, with the, that one is the blowout kit he had. He went to the Dominican spot and got the
pressing card. The pressing card.
Yeah.
I mean, so do you think that we have to wait? I just feel like Prince didn't get his roses a lot while he was above ground, as much as Mike did.
This is the thing, though.
That's maybe my thing. No,
I think there's room to have that argument, or that discussion. I think that the other thing is we don't know how many things were there for Prince to do. I mean,
Prince declined.
He declined. Like, nope, I don't want. How many things were like that? The one thing I think he should have got, Kennedy Honors. Kennedy Honors. Yeah. I mean, imagine that. Yeah. Because usually Kennedy Honors come through.
Yeah,
I mean they. Yeah, I mean I still have, you know, hair on the back of my neck standing up for when I heard Aretha Franklin, you know, singing at the last. And they go with
the Q-Tips curating the Kennedy hip hop spot.
Yeah, man, that's a whole other conversation of the podcast about you know it's kind of, you know, seeing hip hop artists and doing those types of things.
It's like scholastic things like that. Yeah.
Man, but we just in a moment where it's gonna be a bunch of hybridization of these spaces.
You think so?
You know? Oh yeah,
I guess the template that'd be Straight Outta Compton, how Straight Outta Compton was, you know, yeah, really kind of blew up. Like, really, basically, N.W.A. got in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this last because of Straight Outta Compton, the movie. That's how I feel.
Yeah, but you know, you gotta give them respect.
No. I'm talking about put them into the forefront. Like, shit, like I forgot they did all this.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to go put them in the forefront. Like being in a sing-along
in the movie.
Yeah.
But the Prince not getting his due. I think there are two ways to look at it. Again, one is we don't know what he declined, what he just shut down. Like, I don't want to get that award, which we could totally understand if he did that, because that would fit his kind of narrative. The other thing is, and you know, maybe people didn't give him that due. You know, he was definitely, you know, worthy of it. Because, I mean, you know, Prince might have broke the internet this afternoon, or this morning, or, you know, depending on where you were living. That's
still
huge,
breaking.
Man.
People still tweeting.
You know, you just, and you, they're going to be, and for good reason. But it's just like, man, Fife and then Prince.
Dude, Fife, man, and then Prince.
Don't let there be like a secret Fife and Prince joint. I mean,
don't make me more mad, because you know they were supposed to have an Outkast Tribe Called Quest album they was working on right now when Fife died. Rico talked about it, and then Andre 3000 talked about it at his Fife's funeral.
Man,
yeah. But I hope, man. But honestly, this is like it inspires. I mean, death shouldn't inspire you necessarily, but death inspires me in this way of like, and I even overall, I was telling the lady, I was like, yo, like, you got to think about how much these other people did in their young lives. That means we ain't got no excuses not to at least try to hustle and do what we can to get some stuff accomplished. You got Martin, Malcolm, all these cats was barely in their 30s.
I was watching an interview with the cast of Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
Which is blowing
which
up.
I wanted to go next year for my birthday, and I can't even get to. I mean, they sold out next year even.
It's all about who you know, brother. Yeah, who you know.
Yeah.
But if you look at Alexander Hamilton's life, what he's able to create by the time he passes, right? What did he do? And I think if you know, more folks start looking at, you know, time in that way, it is finite. As extraordinary and otherworldly as we thought MJ was, as we know Prince was, we're saying was. Right,
yeah, past tense.
I didn't want to say that, but you know, it's like that. That's it, man. So, yeah, man. I mean, the brother created so much content, man. So much. I mean, so many tunes, and just, I mean, now you'll start. I mean, it'll be. I mean, there's his own canon, right? I mean, and sonically, that's like an old Prince tune. You know, when you start to see that, right?
Yeah.
And you think about, you know, tributes, I think given who he was and is still as an artist, right? I'm not putting him in the ground yet. I'm not, you know, when D'Angelo did the untitled joint, right? How does it feel? Yeah, like that's a tribute.
Yeah.
That's Prince. I mean, that's one of his biggest influences,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
100%. He always,
yeah, you know, yeah, the way he played the guitar and everything on stage, the whole nine.
Yeah, and maybe for Prince, you know, that Nas like that do way more for him than any,
because he see, you know, artists like straight up and like giving tipping the hat to him, basically.
Yeah, totally. Like, look, man, you inspired me to, you know, to push the culture even further than what you'd already done, and I think, you know, he lived to see that, and I'm sure that was probably way more gratifying. Given what we know of him as an artist, right? He could appreciate that a hell of a lot better than getting some award it's on for, or some award show that's on for 5 hours.
Yeah, you know, that's real.
I mean, but somebody like really going into the woodshed of creativity and banging out something, you know, just cultivating something that just is truly inspired by, but it's something new. And I think he would always have a great respect for people that were able to do that, because not everybody can, right? That, you know, a lot of mimicry, you know, going down, but can you build from that? You know, we're talking about any of the greatest iconic voices or artists of the 20th century. At some point, they all got pushed to hear a different tune. Like, you go to Marvin Gaye, he got pushed to hear. We want to hear the real Marvin Gaye, right?
Right. We don't want to hear the watered down version.
Right. You want to hear the real you. I mean, it happens to Al Green. It happens to Ray Charles, right? A lot of these guys, especially guys, were trying to sound like, you know, these crooners and stuff. But to find their particular voice, right? I mean, like Aretha Franklin, right? That voice has been there since she was probably 13.
No, you're right. You probably
tune is. Like Never Grow Old. I think that's probably the oldest tune that she has on wax. But, you know, she's a teenager. She sounds the same way. Because I'm not trying to make it, you know, male-centric in terms of the artist. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Prince would probably, his flowers, so to speak, metaphoric flowers and tribute were people that really took his catalog to heart and pushed it forward. You saw, you know, Janelle Monáe, right? Yeah. I mean, I think anybody that was on stage with him that he had come out there, those are people he rocked with.
Mm.
Those are folks that he thought were...
Even Mr. Steal Your Girl?
Say it again?
Even Mr. Steal Your Girl?
Maybe.
Or maybe he's like, I need somebody young on there. Maybe I like, you know.
I don't know. I mean, but anybody I think he shared the stage with.
Yeah, and you know what? And he probably had to okay everybody that was performing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There wasn't any surprises. Not like, surprise, we got... No.
Nah, I need to know everybody that's doing... And what song they doing, too, if I need to...
Right. Because, you know, even though he performed... I'm going back again because it was so terrible. Trey Songz doing Purple Rain, that was just abysmal.
That yodeling that he be doing.
Oh, my God. It's just stop. Just like, do your... Stay in your lane.
Yeah, do your Mr. Steal Your Girl.
Yeah, stay in your lane. That's not your lane, you know. And okay, I'm gonna get off that. But
no.
Just so bad, man. Just it's like, why did you? And you on national television doing that?
But and people it, saying
Prince's
he did
face
a good
was
job.
The funniest though.
Yeah, he was like, "What is going on with this?"
But this sounds, you know, I need to look that up too. Did he say good job or? But he couldn't have said that. But
he said he couldn't have said that.
I just if he did, he'd just be nice. But, yeah, I think if you see the people that he had on stage in the last couple of years he toured, those are the folks he respected.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, if you saw him at Madison Square Garden and he had folks popping up to play with him, you know, different nights, those are folks he respected. Whoever those folks were. I mean, I saw him at Madison Square Garden once, but, you know, just... I'm just going back to the tribute piece. I think that we have to define the way we look at tribute, because I think for him it would probably he took more joy from getting the artistic tributes than he would any television show.
The television hoopla.
Yeah, and then, you know, I could see him just shutting down somebody trying to put together a 3-hour whatever tribute to Prince.
Yeah, like, I'm not even gonna do that. No, I don't need all that love like that.
Because he wanna perform for 3 hours.
Yeah, and he's probably talking about my music speak for itself, and I don't need no situation like that.
I mean, that could be it, man. But I mean, it's just a sad day, man. In music, it's a folks will remember where they were today. Yeah, they'll remember. No, they will. I mean, I still remember being in the car with my dad when Marvin Gaye came across the radio.
Oh, really?
Old Magic 108. Your uncle.
Was it my uncle the one that said it?
I don't think he said it, but I'm just saying, I said your uncle because he was on there.
I was like, damn, I'm going to call him about that thing. He never told
shout
me
out
that.
To Doc Woodson. Shout
yeah,
out to Doc
I was going
to
be mad. I was going to be mad, that, you know. Shout out to my cousin, too, that listens. She's got engaged, man. So.
Oh, she got engaged.
Yeah, shout out to my cousin, Leah, man. Shout
little
out to
my sis, Leah.
Yeah.
Went ahead and being grown, getting engaged.
Yeah.
She probably listened to some Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you already know.
Yeah. But I mean, we got to have another Prince conversation.
Yeah, man. No. This is the first.
I think the thing was going to be crazy is like watching out for like what new music is going to drop
from his cat from his vault.
Catalog from the vault. Like, would it be something from the vault or something that? Let's just say, if Prince knew that he was getting close to death. And he had already, I mean, he was a very methodical dude, man. Very calculating and meticulous, right? We've noticed from people who've seen him and or knew him, and we just kind of see
and just in watching general, yeah, what he did, how he moved. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What if he set something up to have, you know, like MJ did have, you know, records released after his death, you know. First month we're gonna come out
because I know you before we started you were saying that they said he didn't have no will. I can't believe that.
I mean, I'm saying that was a rumor. I'm not trying to spread rumors.
I cannot see that having no will,
because if there is no will, you're about to see the worst, and I mean the worst legal battle over somebody's estate in history of estates. In terms of
my thing is, who is fighting over the estate though? Because he doesn't have any kids, he doesn't have a wife.
He got siblings though, doesn't he?
I don't even know if he's got siblings.
I think he has half siblings or something. Folks would come out the woodworks now.
And just whoever up on deck, even if it's a third cousin that's alive, that's on deck.
Yeah, I think he has some siblings, bro. I need to read one of those Prince biographies. I don't, you know, I just been on the... Yeah, Heavy.com has one. Prince's family, his parents
brothers
and sisters. He had a large extended family, blah blah blah, blah. He had seven half siblings and one full blooded sibling.
Damn.
A sister. Is it Tyka?
Wow. So yeah, eight siblings.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm sure folks are going to be looking for that payday. Because how much, I mean, we could look it up. I'm not getting ready to right now, but, you know, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, easy.
And I'm sure
that's his net probably. That's not even probably including how much his catalog is worth.
Yeah, I'm. Man. Okay, Tyga Nelson. That's a picture of her and,
That's his sister?
Yeah, his aunt's sister.
That's his mother?
Yeah. Sharon L. Nelson.
Oh, it's his sister.
Half-sister. Okay. Sorry.
I'm sure, I bet you he took care of all the kids. Like all the grand, like his all his nieces and nephews, I can see him doing that. I mean, and let's not even talk about how many bad chicks Prince kept around him.
That he did. It's a beautiful woman around him, at all times.
Yeah, at all times, man.
At all times.
Yeah, and they ask get fashion tips too, at the same time. Well, man, I ain't trying to hold you up, man. I know you got your doctoral duties.
Oh, yeah, I just got one thing to do tomorrow, man. You'll see. End of the semester, so. Yeah, man.
What can everybody hit you up at, man? Like, the Twitter and all that good stuff.
Twitter is... I got to get a new Twitter, man. Mine's kind of long.
You think you feel like you have to change it again?
I don't know. It seems long, man. It's at VC... Mitchell Jr. That's long. It's VC MITCHELLJR. That's like really long.
Why'd you change it the first time?
Well, I got, you know, God rest his soul, man. My boy, Jonathan Hicks. Shout out to Jonathan Hicks, man. One of my dear friends and brothers, man. He, you know, my old name was At Negro Intellect.
Right, right.
And he said, you know, you're about to graduate. You know, you need to, right before I got my doctorate, he was like, you need to, you know, change your name, make it be more serious. I was like, what should it be? Should I use my name? He said, yeah, use your initials and maybe your last name. And, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. But, yeah, you can reach me at VC Mitchell Jr. On Twitter. You see me there and maybe see me some other places in a not-so-distant future.
Okay, all right. Hey, well, thank y'all for listening to this. We're going to do another one, you know.
Yeah, like yeah, this. I'm definitely coming back. I'm putting it right down. We're putting this in stone because we got to, maybe by the time we do this again, I would have written something about Prince.
Okay,
That's worthy of having a conversation about. But, you know, you definitely got to dedicate some more time to this.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted that first reaction.
Yeah, yeah, no, man.
People, you know what I'm saying? Especially a lot of people still hurting, you know, so a lot of people I know would like to hear, you know, some good discussion.
I mean, it's like part of your childhood for us, man. I mean, grew up in this shit. I mean, in
Purple Remy come on regular TV on Channel 30.
Yeah.
You know, once every other month type thing, you know.
That's it, man. So it's a moment, and it's the defining moment, and, you know, mortality is real.
Yeah, well, I mean, we
don't waste time, y'all.
Yeah, you don't waste no time.
Don't waste no time.
Well, thank y'all for listening, and we'll be back next week. Peace.
Controlling all the oil, is it worth the child dying?
at all.